If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Listick Behind the Curtain, our home for theater and the arts. And today we're going to take you out to a place called the MAC, the McKinnich Arts Center, which is out in DuPage, because they have the greatest mix of comedy and music and tributes. You're going to learn all about it because you're going to meet my guest today, Diana Martinez, who runs that place and who I've known for just so many years in different capacities in different places. But she's going to fill us in. Diana, good to see you again. And thanks for joining us today about the MAC.
It's so good to see you.
Just to get everybody on page, tell everybody where the MAC is. Sure. You know, very briefly, it's outside the city. You got a little bit of a ride to get there if you're living in the loop.
We are located on the campus of College of DuPage in DuPage County in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. And Glen Ellyn is on the train line, so that makes it a little bit easier. It's about 35 miles, but depending on the time of day, you know, you have to allow for traffic from the city. But we, depending on the show, we get a big draw from the city crowd, depending on what show we're presenting or if we're doing a big art exhibit at the time.
Yeah, I'm always looking to see what we're going to talk about the schedule. I want people to know what's coming up in part of October, November, and December. But also, by the way, go there for dinner. Not to the MAC, but there are places. I don't know the name. There's a country club near you, and I've gone there for dinner.
Yes,
where there's a lot of WGN fans. By the way, I noticed that when I sit down and they say hi. So yeah, make an evening out of it and go. And when I think about like what the offerings at the MAC are, it's hard to pinpoint. You can say, well, they're musical. It's everything. Dance.
Well, you know, we're truly an art center, and we have a resident. We have the only ensemble equity theater company in residence here, Buffalo Theater Ensemble. We have a professional union orchestra in residence. And then we have our touring shows. And then we have a very vibrant museum that does big international art shows every other summer, like Frida Kahlo, Andy Warhol. Right now, we're doing Hokusai. So there's something for everyone. And I know that sounds cliche, but there truly is. And we do over 300 events a year.
And I love your gift shop, too. That gift shop could almost be located at the Art Institute. I mean,
thank you.
It's right. That kind of just classy, really interesting stuff.
What about the full service bar?
Yeah. And by the way, and the concessions like popcorn are a lot less expensive than they are in the city. So I store up on that stuff when I go there. I love it. Let us talk a little bit about the shows coming up. We're going to talk about a show called Voctive. They're in December, but I'm mentioning it now because the second half of this Behind the Curtain, I'm going to speak with some of the representatives from Voctive, such as its conductor, Jamie Ray. And I fell in love with them years ago, and you're bringing them back for a Christmas show. I can't wait. We're going to talk to them separately. But let me start with you. People are seeing this. It's early October. So I want to start in October and start with Paul Reiser. I was going to do this. Let's talk about the comedy. Let's talk about the music. But the truth is, I think I just need to take this in the calendar approach because it's the best way to do it because you're so varied. I think that's a selling point. October 17th, Mad About You, Paul Reiser, he's coming. Is it stand-up that he does?
He is doing his stand-up show. And I know a lot of us remember him from Mad About You. Yeah. What I'm finding is younger people know him because he was recently in Stranger Things.
Oh, okay.
And so Paul has had a big resurgence, and he's always, you know, he's sort of a Renaissance guy. He wrote a few books too, which they're hysterical if you've ever read them. And what I like about Paul Reiser is he does situational and family and relationship comedy that everyone can relate to, right? It's not polarizing. He really zeroes in on relationships and family, and he's got a real gift for it.
And you're right, he's one of those people where, depending on who you're talking to, figure out their generation and then tell them where they plug into the Paul Reiser career.
It's true. It's true. I was shocked that the younger kids were like, I don't know what you're talking about with Mad About You, but we love him from Stranger Things. I'm like,
yeah, I love it. Like,
he's on Stranger Things, right? So,
well, that's October 17th. And then the next night, you see, it's not another comedian. The next night, you shift gears and you have a show called I Am, I Said, which it, or I Am, He Said. It's a tribute to Neil Diamond. Love Neil Diamond.
Well, and that show is a really interesting performance because it's done by the Killer V's, and Bobby V was a 50s teen idol, and it's the band of his nephews and his brother, and so they are old musicians that have run around for a long time, and they have all the stories, and they've worked with everybody. So they're not trying to imitate Neil Diamond. They're doing, but he sounds just like him. And the show is sold out. So we're trying to get a second show added because it sold out so quickly.
And you have a lot of shows where, you know what, I'm just going to jump ahead to one because my colleague, Pat Tomasulo, I was going to have Pat on the show, but I see him every day. I don't need him. But he's coming. You have him pretty much every year, I think, to do his comedy show. And I just saw him in the newsroom the other day. I said, Pat, I'm going to talk about you. I'm speaking to Diane. He goes, well, make sure you mention we just added a second show.
Sold out within like a week. Within a week, it was gone. So we basically got on sale to the public. And so Pat's like, are we really sold out? I can't get he wanted tickets for a friend. And I'm like, do you want to add another show? And we're like, let's do it. So we're adding a 4 o'clock show on Saturday, November 22nd. And Pat, you know, he's so sarcastic and funny and witty. But
and that's the way he is, by the way.
It's just who he is, right? But he also... he says things that you think, but you don't want to say. And one of my favorite jokes he does in the bit is he's like, the reason my wife and I have had such a great, you know, love affair and life together is because we hate the same people. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's great.
I sometimes wonder, I mean, Amy is so quiet, so different from him and so quiet, but she loves him and he adores her. So his humor, and I have to tell you, look, I go to a lot of comedy shows and things. That man is just funny. I mean, Mike Toomey is great. He's not appearing, but he's great on our morning show. But Pat is just fantastic. So cutting and biting. November 22nd is when he's there. So you added the second show is later that night, though, at 7:30.
Yes. Yes.
All right. We don't want to miss him. And then again, I'm just going to kind of shift gears a little bit. I'm going to go to November 8th. So we haven't even left, you know, that far into November from October. But rather than talking about the stuff we've been talking about, you've got the Soweto Gospel Choir. Now, I've been to Soweto in South Africa. I'm assuming that's the tie.
Yes. Soweto Gospel Choir was actually supposed to go to CSO. And they had a booking conflict. And so they called and said, will you take the state? And I have wanted them forever. And so they are sort of an international peace mission choir. They have performed for Nelson Mandela, Prince Charles. They are very respected. And their music is about hope. It's a gospel choir. But they don't just sing. They have great, vibrant costumes and choreography. And they're very inspiring and uplifting. So I think it's a very good thing right now that we need. And our community is hope and uplifting and bringing people together.
Let me also ask you, so on at least the shows that I've been to, like Bakhtiv, you've got the seats, the, you know, traditional beautiful theater seats, but then you also have this like row of tables, like you're it's a nightclub down front. Is that there for every show, or is it just select shows you do that?
Well, it's select shows based on like for a dance show, you need a little more space.
Right.
So we don't have the gold circle seating up front. But for a comedy or a concert, we can move those tables in. But for dance and for orchestra, it's a little tighter. You know.
Okay. Well, that makes total sense. I just happen to love that feeling when you're at those tables and you're, you know, they're right there. You're right, you know, making connections with the performers. Well, we go from the Soweto Gospel Choir on the 8th. The next day, do we have another choir? No, we have the Life and Music of George Michael. See, this is why I wanted to do it this way. You can't just like say, oh, what are they doing? I'll pick a date. And then it's a lot of that. No, every day is different.
Different.
The mat. So, of course, the Life and Music of George Michael. Again, another incredible talent.
And this show is produced in Europe, and this company does the best tribute shows. And there's two Georges. One does Act One, and he does the Wham, all the young Wham stuff.
Yeah.
And then father figure at the end of Act One, they both come on stage together, and older George Michael comes, and they do the duet, and then the young Michael leaves, and the older Michael, who is, I have to say, super sexy. He is incredible. And he is just perfect. And he does Act Two. So it's a very theatrical, beautiful show. Beautiful.
And the night after Tomasulo on the 22nd, you have a Carpenters tribute on the 22nd. I love the Carpenters as well. You're just bringing it. It's like you and I grew up together. You're just bringing in these classic groups. But with the time we have, I want to shift kind of to the Christmas season. Let's go to Vaktiv. We don't have to talk a lot about them because I'm going to with them on December 14th. But you bring them back, not every year, but almost every year. Their Christmas show, I mean, they're a cappella, and they're incredible.
You know, how I found Vaktiv was a dear friend of mine who lives in Palm Springs went to the McAllen Art Center and saw them and said, "You have to book this act. You will love it." And I said, "What is it?" And he said, "It's an a cappella act." I'm saying, "Oh, I'm not into a cappella." He goes, "You got to listen to it." And he sent me a clip. And I'm listening to them and I'm just blown away because the power of their voices and the vast range that they have. And they were, you know, a Disney group.
Yeah.
That did the theme park thing. And then they started doing their own arrangements and they went viral. And so people discovered Vaktiv and created Vaktiv. The people love Vaktiv. But when you hear them do their holiday, their O Come All Ye Faithful, it's like a 32 count hold of this high note. And you're just like, how do they have that power? But they're just really tight.
They really are stunning. And then you mentioned dance, but I haven't really talked about dance. So let's talk about it. Because in the Christmas season, we start right after Vaktiv, a couple of days later, and they're going to be with you for a few days. The Salt Creek Ballet, how do you have Christmas without the Nutcracker?
The Nutcracker is a tradition here at the Mac. And I think the reason ours is so popular, and if you're looking for a traditional classic with lace on the socks and the beautiful ribbons in the hair. I mean, gorgeous, stunning English version of that look and feel. This is the company. And we've added a fifth show because it sells out so quickly. But I think what makes our special is our in-residence symphony orchestra conducted by Kirk Maestro Muspratt. It's a live symphony orchestra with this live ballet. And our crew every year tries to make it more and more special. And last year, we found a way to not only make it snow on stage when the Ice Prisoners comes on like every other theater, but it snows all over the audience.
Oh, I love it.
It's gorgeous.
I love it. And then the last thing I want to talk about, New Year's Eve. You don't shut your doors on New Year's Eve. You have a concert.
We have three concerts, and that's New Philharmonic Orchestra. It's not a stuffy symphony orchestra concert. That one will have pops music, movie music, themes, Broadway. He really mixes it up. So it's a fun concert and it's like only an hour and a half show. So it's a great way to come to the show and then go out to dinner and celebrate.
And that takes it to the end of the year. And then, you know what? Already available. Go to the website. Paula Poundstone shows up in January 24. You get right to it again in the new year. So let me ask you, where can people find the calendar, see what's going on, get their tickets?
Go to www.atthemac.org, atthemac.org.
And if you want, I know you sell subscriptions, but I'm thinking, okay, you have 80 billion shows a month. So if I'm buying a subscription, do I get to pick and choose what I want?
You pick whatever you want. You want a symphony show, a theater show, and a concert? You can mix it up. It's make your own. And then here's the good news. If you have a problem and all of a sudden you're like, I have a wedding, I can't come, subscribers are allowed to exchange their tickets. So then you can come to something else or come a different night. So we try to make it easy and fun for everyone and accessible. So three shows and you get a discount and you get special offers and you're a subscriber.
It is just such a treasure. I mean, look, Downtown Theater is fantastic, of course, but head out a little bit to DuPage County and just you'll find yourself going back and back and back because the programming, and you're responsible for it, is just amazing. And I wish I could. I feel like I'm doing the programming because everybody you line up is an act I want to see. Diana Martinez, let's send everybody to atthemac.org. Check out the schedule. Get your subscription. Buy individual tickets. Don't wait because some of these shows, like Pat Tomasulo, my friend, they sell out. So you want to check it out. I thank you for being with me.
Thank you so much, Paul.
And we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we've been talking about Vaktiv, and you're going to meet him. Stay with us. We'll be right back. And we are back on Paul Listed Behind the Curtain. So the first part of the show, you met Diana Martinez and all the great things coming up in the latter part of the year at the MAC. But of course, you heard me just talk about my love for the group Voctive, the a cappella group. And I said you're going to meet somebody from that group. You're going to meet kind of the leader of that group. Now, as he joins me, Jamie Ray, who will be bringing the group Voctive to Chicago. Jamie, it's so good to see you. We got to meet backstage last time you were here in the area. I can't wait for you to come back this year again on December 14th. How have you been?
Great. We actually love getting to come there because I think this is going to maybe be our fourth time coming there, third or fourth time. And so we're going to keep coming as long as you keep asking, but we're definitely excited to be there.
Well, I know I keep asking. And so you're, so the MAC is in DuPage County. You're a little bit out of the city limits or stuff, but I'm sort of curious that when I'm there and I always kind of sit up front and they have little cocktail tables, which is really cool. But the audience just loves you guys. Is Chicago a great place for you to perform?
I think that there are a lot of people in the group that have friends and family nearby. So I feel like when we walk out on stage, it's a very comfortable audience of people that we are happy to see out there. But then we've got people that it's their very first time seeing us. And so they all kind of feed off each other. And it's a great experience, which is why we love getting to come back, because each time it's a really good time. And so I feel like we've basically sold out that show every single time, so the crowd is full and exciting every time.
I can confirm that you have. All right, for folks watching us now who say, I'm sorry, what is this Voctive thing? I don't know. Let's fill them in. Fill us in on this amazing a cappella group with voices that blend like I've never heard before.
Okay, so we are actually, I was just telling Paul this, this is our 10th year in existence together. It was October of 2015. We kind of came together and started this group. All of us at some point or another had worked together in a large theme park here in Orlando is what I will say.
I can't imagine what that would be.
I have no idea what it is either. But we got to work there and just kind of getting to know each other and doing other projects together. This group kind of formed without a plan, but it has turned into 10 years of making some really great music with who I think are the absolute best in the world at what they do. I mean, I get to write the music, and I'm very lucky to get to write and arrange everything for this group, but putting black dots down is a lot easier than getting to then sing them the way that some of these people do. So it's been quite a journey these last 10 years, but we kind of, identify as a vocal orchestra. If you've not heard anything from of ours before, it's definitely going to be a vocal orchestra experience. You're going to hear the crazy highs, the crazy lows, and everything in between. So, and hopefully be entertained as well.
Like a little Grinch done by Carl Hudson, one of those singers, is always a magic moment for me. People got to check this out. And by the way, people, just go to Spotify, go to these areas, and just listen to Voctive, and you'll be getting your tickets quicker than you realize. But you better do it soon, because it does sell out. Yeah. When you put these voices together, now, there have been a few changes over the years, Jamie, right? Do you start with sort of a game plan of, I need X tenors, X whatever, and then if somebody moves on to something, we have to replace that particular part of the scale?
Yes, I think that similar to, I mean, I don't mind even saying it, the group Voices of Liberty that was at Epcot, the man who created that, Derek Johnson, who is an inspiration for this group, an inspiration for all of these singers, he created this sound. And it is very much an eight-part a cappella sound, but very often a third soprano note and very often a third bass note is thrown in. And so that's kind of where the idea of these 10 voices came from. And then I throw myself in as kind of, I call myself the tenor other. Notes that just need to be filled in as the third tenor there. But that's where our 11 voices came from, as far as that number goes. And while the highs and lows are very extreme from each other, our highest soprano and our low bass, they stand right next to each other for most of our show. And that's where a lot of our balance comes from, which is great.
One of your members, Kurt von Schmidtau, he's funny. Is there also, do you see people kind of having different roles in the show, or is Kurt just goofy and that just works?
I mean, easy answer, yes. We do have a script, so if you come and you see our show, I would love for you to believe that I'm just making it up on the spot, but I'm not. I have a script. But in the script, Kurt's lines are written as Kurt, dot, dot, dot. and so most of what Kurt says is whatever Kurt wants to say. And while it is terrifying, it is always entertaining because I do say this on stage, and it is true. It's different every night. He makes us laugh just as much as he makes the audience laugh. That is his ultimate goal, and he's always successful at it. And he is the quickest person, and I've given up trying to keep up with him. It just is what it is.
So I get the sense not everybody knew everybody. There are certainly connections within it. Is that how the 11 came together initially, and then over time, is it sort of a somebody knows somebody who needs to be in this group?
Well, the original group, and actually just up until very recently, everybody in the group at one point did sing in one specific group at Disney, in the Voices of Liberty. And so everyone was kind of aware of each other just through that. And then we had recently one of our members leave, and one of a good friend of mine, actually, who lives in New York, never worked at Disney, did not sing in this other group. He has stepped into this new role, and we're very excited to have him. So it is kind of fun to get to diversify the background of this group. And while it was helpful to come from one place, it's also starting to be helpful to expand that. So we're excited for that.
So that would sound like people don't, I mean, you know them. So do they have to audition, or is it sort of like, I know you don't need to audition, you work?
Their auditions have been working with them for years is really kind of how it has been, because while auditions are important, auditions show me 5 minutes of what you can do. And all of these people I have years of experience with to know that, yes, I have a million people in town who can sing these notes, but I want a lot more of the equation is important. There is, and it's nice to, it took a while to figure out exactly what those pieces would be, but man, I feel like we've got quite a combination right now, which is nice.
Now, maybe you'll tell me I'm off base, but I think some people think when they hear of an a cappella group, they just think of a choir or something like that. A choir oftentimes needs something with it, the piano, the bass, something has to be going with it. You guys make it all happen just with the voices. Is there any kind of technical distinction between choirs?
Honestly, I think that, and I am a choral person. That is one thing that I am, and there's a couple of people in the group that we are choral nerds, and we want to go out on stage, and we would love to sing choral music forever and ever. But this is a little bit different in that I think that, to follow up to what you said, when people hear a cappella, they also think of like pentatonics. Pentatonix is a pop a cappella group, and my gosh, they are so good. But they are what I would say when I reference us being a vocal orchestra is that we are going to cover all the soundscape that you need as far as what that kind of world of music is. And so we are going to fit more into the Broadway world, the Disney world, the Christmas world, the jazz world. But if it came to a rhythm track that is very beat driven and drum driven with not a lot of chords, that's not really our world. And so while a choir could sing these great four parts and have piano filling in everything in between, I write to fill in the four parts plus all the things in between. And so hopefully nothing is ever missing when you're listening to us, because we have all the colors that you can write with, which is nice.
Well, and you mentioned one of those other a cappella groups people might know. I was going to mention them, but I think you just guys shine even beyond that. Do you? And it's almost as though during the course of a concert, everybody gets their moment.
We try to have that because one thing that is, I feel like, one of the most impressive things about this group is if you do come and hear us, we can create this really great unified sound where it just sounds like one mind, one voice, especially the ladies, when the five of them sing together, they can make a unison that just sounds like one person. However, when I split the five of them up and they each get their moment, they sound like five completely different people and they have their own voice. And so while there are 11 of us and we don't want 11 solo full songs in every show, you're going to get to hear most everybody featured at some point in most shows. Now, what's nice is we do travel with like two or three different shows. And so if you've followed us, you might see one show one night. The next night, it's going to vary and be a little different because we do want to spread out the solos. But for the most part, it is exciting for everybody to get to hear these individual voices versus the full group.
So, Jamie, I've got to wrap up the show. Can you hang on with me a little bit? A little more I want to talk about just the history of Voctiv and all that. Can you hang with me?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. For those of us watching this here, you can catch our bonus conversation at WGNradio.com starting on Monday morning and all the other podcast locations. Jamie, when I see you, I'm going to give you one of these lovely behind the curtain mugs. And if you all out there want to get one of your own with that logo on it, you can even get a skateboard and a shower curtain. Don't ask me why. You can go to WGNTV.com/store and check it out. Until next week, we'll see you on Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain. Thanks for joining us. And we are back to Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain. I'm continuing my conversation with Jamie Ray, who will be here with Voctiv, the fantastic a cappella group at the Mac. And that's going to be on December 14th. You can get tickets at atthemac.org, so you don't want to miss it. Jamie, I'm glad you stayed on with me, because just in terms of the history, you're kind of the founder of all this, right? So you were one of those Disney guys, whatever. Can you, what is it that triggered that you said, time for me to do my own thing and to work with some of my friends to do our own thing?
Well, I would love to tell you that that's actually how the story starts, but okay. The best part about it was we were doing a completely different project that wasn't Voctiv. There is, if you go look up, there's an old album called The Magic of Voices, and on it I wrote an arrangement called the Disney Fly Medley, and it includes the three songs about flying from Disney. It's When I See an Elephant Fly, Let's Go Fly a Kite, and You Can Fly from Peter Pan. And so when we recorded it that day for this other project, I went in and filmed it, and we put it on YouTube, and it blew up, and it did very well, and we thought, let's see if we could do this with another song or two, and we put a couple other songs up, and the next thing we knew, we were like, maybe this is a thing. And it took about a year or so to kind of figure out what the exact formula was, and even then, it was just at least to get us started. We've shifted from then, but it all kind of started just from working with each other in other capacities on other recording projects that we saw, wow, this could be a thing. And truly, the way it really began is that first medley, the Disney Love Medley, with the girl from Pentatonix, Kirsten Maldonado, and her boyfriend at the time, Jeremy Michael Lewis. They were the ones that said, you need a name, you need a website, this isn't just a random group of people singing songs, you all should be a thing. So turn this into a thing, because once this video comes out, people are going to want to know who you are, so be somebody. And they were very, very, very right. And it's and like I said, we are about a month away from the 10-year anniversary of that exact day of recording. So wow. It has been quite an exciting decade that we've spent the last 10 years figuring everything out together.
Go, maybe run a short video during your show. We can sort of see that magic initial moment.
We got some fun things planned, so maybe there will be something. I don't know. We'll find out.
All right. Was it scary? I know when I used to practice law and I was a law school dean and whatever, and the day came when I went, time for me to do my own thing, and woke up one morning unemployed, technically. I'm sort of curious, did you and your colleagues and I in Voctiv, did you have that moment of saying, I'm waking up today, it is day one, and what are we going to do?
Not exactly. I'm thankful that they decided to come on this journey. We didn't even know what the journey was going to be. But the best part about it was we liked each other from the beginning, and we trusted each other. I think that we knew we had something special. We just didn't know what it was going to turn into. And it was actually our very first Christmas album and our very first live Christmas concert, singing some of the songs we are still going to sing this year, that made us go, this is something. We need to continue this, and it needs to build and grow. And I'm very, very lucky to the fact that these people hitched any part of their wagon to whatever star I had, that they would follow along is an honor to me. But it's been something that every year something gets more exciting and more interesting, and every album is still fun to go in. We're not sick of it yet, which is good.
Can you just talk about just a couple of the players? I mentioned Kurt to me. He's the goofy guy. I mean that with love, obviously.
They all do.
Yeah, and Carl as well, who's got that bass voice that you just would kill to have. Exactly. But talk about some of the women in this group, when they have their solo moments, it just floors me. The power of those. I guess what I'm saying is, sometimes I would think, I'm wrong, I would think that if somebody is in an a cappella group, or let's put them in a choir for a second, there are people who have pretty voices, but they only work when they're singing with other people. The voices in Voctiv, every one of them could be a solo artist. And hopefully they won't hear me say that, or I'll give them ideas. Not after that. But Right.
Give them all the ideas because you're 100% right. What is nice is, and that's something that is difficult to find someone who works really well in an ensemble, but also can step out and be a killer soloist. I mean, some of these people, that is actually where they shine the most. They sell a song. They are going to deliver a lyric that you are just going to follow them off a ledge if they say so. I mean, if you have been at the Christmas concerts in at Glen Ellen in Chicago there and heard Tiffany Coburn sing "Oh Holy Night," there you can't wait to get on your feet. Same thing with EJ singing "O Come All Ye Faithful." I mean, at the end of our, it could be April and we could be doing our Disney and Broadway show, and at the end I come out and we'll do an encore, and I love that people think this is the request hour and they start yelling out "O Come All Ye Faithful" because they just want to hear EJ sing the song. And I mean, I do too, but probably not right then. But it is amazing what all of these soloists can do. And I mean, Kate as well. Kate is this, she's like a bird. She sings so high and so effortlessly. But then when she has these solos, they are absolutely glorious because, first of all, she's saying words in a range most people can't even dream of singing any note. But it just sounds so beautiful. And honestly, she has a solo in our Christmas show that is maybe one of my favorite moments in anything we ever do. And it's pretty moving and spectacular.
I don't mean this to be an unfair question, but everybody in that group is so incredibly talented. Do you ever have to battle, are there ever ego issues or such, or is everybody just a team player and they love watching the success of each other?
No, I do appreciate in our business, it is very difficult because you have to walk a fine line of confidence and ego, because you don't want someone who is so insecure that thinks they're terrible at everything and I can't deliver and it's going to be bad no matter what I do. I don't want that person, but I also don't want somebody that's like, you're welcome for me being here. And so we constantly are a group that builds each other up. I mean, there are very few times where someone's going to sing a big solo in our show where someone's not going to have some comments afterwards to let them know that was great. You made a choice here in this part of the solo that was so good. We've never heard you do that. If you come and watch Tiffany stand next to Kate, because Tiffany has sung first soprano and done all the high notes herself at some point in her career, so she knows what it takes to stand there. And when Kate delivers this glorious pop-up, this obbligato that is just stunning, Tiff will give her a tap on the hand, just like a, yeah, that was great. And it's just like a little moment of, I want you to know that I'm going to support you and I'm happy for you. And we have all of that in this group, which I appreciate. And everybody has their moments of insecurities and feeling like they can't do what they're supposed to do. But what's nice is the other 10 are the first to remind them, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And it's great. And we're going to be great. So it is a very positive and uplifting group. And if there's ever a time that is needed, everyone rallies around anybody in this group. And I very much appreciate that with these people.
So you're the writer, you're the arranger and the conductor. How open are you to other members of the group suggesting to you? In other words, so you're putting a new song together. You have your rehearsal time. But do you ever have a moment where Kurt says, you know what, I think we ought to do this, or let's play with this, and do you listen to them?
Yes. I will tell you that it happens a lot more now than it first did, because a lot of these people were used to singing in groups as like a gig. I'm on this show for today and I'm just the tenor. Well, now when I'm writing those notes, I'm not writing them for a tenor. I'm writing them for Drew. I'm writing them for EJ. They know these are my notes. So if I'm going to sing these forever and I have a problem, I want to say something. But also, I want to work with people who have creative opinions. Now, ultimately, I'm the one that has to make the decision of yay or nay, what stays and what goes. But I'm constantly asking them, what do you all feel about this? Can you, how does it, sopranos, how does it feel to sing that line? I don't have to sing your lines, so tell me. And they have definitely, over the last few years, taken a lot more ownership over their part, because they know that it's not an alto, it's Sarah's line. She's going to sing that forever. And so there are things that we have adjusted. I mean, and our music director, we have a separate music director that's not in the group, Bradley Roberts, who, he is a sounding board for me like I can't even tell you. I sent him my demos and there was one that I was so excited. It was a medley of like 12 or 13 songs. And he goes, this is great. They're in the wrong order. Like, what do you mean they're in the wrong order? And he was so right. He was so right. And I was so glad to have input and feedback from these people, because I don't want to pretend like I've come up with gold every time. I mean, I start with ideas and it's great, but sometimes they'll come to me and say, we need to do this song. and I will go and we'll work on it. And so I appreciate working with people who are smart and creative and have opinions, because that's what I want.
So you have me curious. When you say in the wrong order, I'm not getting into the weeds with all this, but I'm sort of curious, what is it that Bradley might have said to you where you went, oh, I didn't think of it that way. We should switch it. What is the concept that makes that happen?
I mean, I could tell you exactly what it was. I mean, that medley, it's our Disney theme parks medley. We have a parks medley that is all music from within the parks if you go to Disney World. And I wrote them strictly based on keys and changes so I could do the transitions easily. And it was just a random mixture of the songs. And he listened to it, and the songs were cool, and he goes, no. The day begins walking in on Main Street. And take us around the park with the Small World and with Carousel of Progress and Pirates of the Caribbean. And then we move into the nighttime music that becomes the fireworks shows at the different parks. And I had them all mixed in together, and it didn't have any reason for them to be in that order. And the way that it's structured now is fantastic. And I mean, like, that is one example of many that have been throughout, but that was an easy one for me to go, you're completely right. It starts with the Mickey Mouse Club, and then it moves into the Main Street song, and it takes you through the rides on the parks, and then it does the whole nighttime fireworks shows. So it's stuff like that that I want people to give me feedback, because I don't want to find out 3 years later after we've been performing it, it should have been different.
So does Bradley still make those suggestions, or do you say, I got this now?
Oh, no. I want him to make these suggestions as long as he possibly will. He and I, he's a wonderful, wonderful partner to have in this process, because he is one of the kindest, most wonderful people, but he is so smart. And the way that he makes suggestions are kind and encouraging and wonderful. And the singers love working with him because they respect him. And it's a very good environment and relationship when we are building a new song. When everyone's coming in to work on a brand new song, we work it together. We workshop it. We decide, no, we're going to cut off here. No, sopranos, you're going to do this instead. Let's change this chord to be this and these words to do this. And it becomes a process. And I've just started with a roadmap.
And by the way, you do a lot of Broadway. You did a song, I think, a year or two ago from Dear Evan Hansen, for example, and you invited your fans to like send in a video would be part of the chorus. And my partner did that, and you used him within the video, and I didn't even pay you. But I'm sort of I didn't even know you at the time, but I'm sort of curious. So when you do it, you obviously also want this special relationship with your fans, right? When you did that exercise, I'm guessing you got bombarded with all sorts of videos and truly had to find talented people.
You don't even know. I mean, it actually worked out nicely because it was during COVID, if you recall.
Yes, right.
We were all locked in our homes. So I said, you know what? We're all at home. So let me show you how to pick up a mic and do this process. We had instructions on how to do it. And we ended up with about 1,000 submissions, which was crazy. And I will be honest with you, I listened to every single one. And there are people in like, oh, this is fake. Voctiv went back in and recorded in the studio. We couldn't get into the studio to do that at the time. So it truly is. It's not, there's no fillers in there. It is the people who did it. They are on the album. They really, really are.
So I used to host a show called Backstage, and we did it in front of a live studio audience, and I would sit with the cast of Hamilton and Wicked and Dear Evan Hansen and Book of Mormon. But anyway, when I did a Disney show, I had Disney legal hanging in the audience. They kind of required that. And then after the show, they would pop up to the producers and let them know what we weren't about to use in our show. And I'm sure that sounds familiar to you. I'm sort of curious. You do so much Disney work. Do they play well in the sandbox? Do you get permission ahead of time? How do you have to deal with all the legal stuff?
I mean, I'm very fortunate that now the licensing process is a lot easier than it used to be. And at this point, if I were going to try to sell the sheet music for the songs, it's a lot more complicated, which is why a lot of people constantly reach out and they say, hey, can I have that song? And I'm like, legally, no, I can't. But the recordings, to do the arrangement, do the recordings is less of a request and more of just a fee. And so once I've paid that fee for the songs, it's a Disney to whatever company, when we do the Broadway shows, I have to pay for the licensing for all of these before we do an album. The process has become much more streamlined. And while it is not a cheap process, as someone who writes music and knows that those who write music should get paid for the music that they write, I want to do the right thing. So we do our licensing for our shows before every album.
Do you ever think of, I don't think I've missed it because I pretty much know all your albums, but is there ever going to be an album where you say, here's an album and it's all original music written by us?
Original music. There have been discussions of that for sure. I will say that our fan base really likes the covers. They really like songs that they recognize. One thing that I will say, if you are watching this and you know us from like three or four videos, constantly we get comments on videos saying, oh, you should do this song, you should do this song, because they don't know our songs if they don't have a video. So go look at the full albums. We got a lot of music that doesn't have videos. But we had our jazz album and that went well, but they still didn't do as well as the Disney and Broadway because they like the hits, they like the covers. So we do have some other ideas of albums in the future that aren't Disney, Broadway, or Christmas. But the original content is not too far on the front burner yet. Maybe one day, and maybe we'll try it out with a song, just to see how that goes. But we do have songwriters in the group. Sarah Whittemore writes songs, and she and I actually got to write a choral piece together. And so there are some people that could do that. We haven't ventured there yet.
We might not be getting Sweeney Todd, the musical recorded by Vakta.
Maybe not. And maybe not some of these others as well that I won't list that I get
a And that was with all due respect to Sweeney Todd. One of the greats. One of the greats.
Actually, you know what? We do Not While I'm Around.
Oh, yes. Yes.
EJ sings that one. That's probably one of the few that we could do from that. But I love that one when he sings it.
All right. So Sondheim Estate, we were just kidding, and Steed, they do. Song from Sweeney Todd. Jamie Ray, I can't wait to see you here in Chicago again, December 14th at the Mac. People can get tickets at atthemac.org. Get them quick because they sell out. There's only one show. You guys should be here for like days, but so be it. So it's going to be on Sunday, December 14th. I can't wait to see you here. Thanks for your time today. Give my very best to everybody, and I sure look forward to seeing them all once again at Christmas time at the Mac. Thank you. And thanks for watching us here on Behind the Curtain. See you next week.